Hi, this is Jeff Seymour, and welcome to the podcast. Today, I'm going to talk about abusive acting classes and why actors keep going back for more. I'll explain. Actors, they tell me their stories of how they were abused in acting classes, manhandled, you know, berated, broken down, yelled at, humiliated, whatever. You know, when you say that kind of thing about an acting class, especially a professional one with, you know, lots of very serious people, you know, you could say, well, that's, you know, that's par for the course, baby. You know what? It is a tough business. And we're not playing around here. You know, we've really got to put a shoulder to it and get the thing done. And, you know, this is not for babies. Yep. Yeah, I see that. I understand that. You know, because you can always lord above the actor's head. Well, I'm sorry. I thought you were serious. I thought you wanted to be an actor. Do you not know how difficult it is to become an actor in this business? You got to want it. Okay? You got to bleed for your art, you know, and all this other stuff. You know, I think if there were tests done, I think somehow they'd be able to prove beyond the shadow of a doubt that if you encourage actors and you help them gain confidence and you praise them and you have patience with them, you'll actually get far more out of them. Now, one might say, well, is that our job? I mean, after all, it is a tough business. This is one of, I know, we've already been through that whole thing. But see, what I don't understand about that equation is, so then, if it's going to be that hard out there, what is the class again? Is it merely a gauntlet I've set up? It's a gauntlet you have to get through? Is that what the class is? It's like a gauntlet class. You come in and then, you know, you've got to make it through the gauntlet. You know, I think that might be fine if, in fact, upon graduation of my class, of getting through this imaginary gauntlet I've created as your teacher, and you've gotten through, you've graduated, that you would actually get jobs. That was a done deal. You get through my class and you start working in the industry. Yes, yes, then you know what? Go ahead. Do whatever you want. Throw darts at me. I mean, if you're telling me if I get through this fear factor you've created and I can become a working actor, well, then yes, go ahead. You know, put a live fish in my mouth. Do whatever you're going to do. Let's just get it over with. But that's not what happens. All I've done is basically torture you and hold above your head the idea that, you know, it's a tough business, so whatever I dish out in class, you need to take. But I don't know why I'd take your money to do that, because why pay me to kick your ass when the life is going to do that, when this industry, I should say, is going to do that? I always do much better when I'm encouraged. I always do better when I feel good, when I'm happy, I'm more creative. And give me a little bit of encouragement, and I'll try all sorts of things in my acting. I don't get what it is about the fact that I have to torture you, and while I'm torturing you, you know, you have to act. Because, you know, that's not what happens in the industry. No, no. You know, once you make it, and you're working, and you're in the industry, and you're a working actor, it's kind of the opposite of torture. It's untorture. It's torture no more. Because now you're a working actor. You're making serious bank, you know, you're... You're doing what you want to do. You're working. You're a working actor. Yeah, the torture is you know, it's really subsided. See, I think what's really happening is that you have very bitter teachers. They're bitter maybe because they didn't make it in the industry. They're bitter because they didn't actually try. They're bitter because they had a career and then it stopped. They're bitter because they think they're better than a lot of people and, you know, they've never had a chance to prove it. They're bitter because they don't really know what they're doing. And when an actor doesn't quite get it right, they get frustrated. And so what they resort to is, well, you know, listen, I can't explain everything. You know, you have to want this. You have to do the work. And I can say a bunch of things that everyone will nod in agreement with. Of course you have to do the work. Of course you've got to want it. But how is that applicable to what we just watched? And how will those words make this person better? You know, it's like saying, well, that wasn't funny. Be funnier. Okay, but you paid me. I mean, I'm being paid to teach you. I don't think I'm allowed to say that because, you know, anyone on the corner can do that. They can think you're not funny and they say, be funnier. Should they get paid too? I think it is such a cop-out for teachers to be able to use the old, you know, yell at you, berate you. Because everyone will sit in class, you know, especially if the scene, let's say, it didn't go well. Let's say it was a real stinker. And then you get a little ass paddling in front of the class for, you know, not being up to snuff. You know, I think a lot of people sit there and listen to it and go, well, you kind of asked for it, didn't you? But all I'm really concerned with is, okay, but how does that get us to better? It doesn't. So the question is, why do actors keep going back to these classes where they're just being humiliated? I think it's a funny little bit of psychosis there. It's a funny little thing going on there. Why the actor keeps going back, keeps getting the crap kicked out of them, and they keep coming back. It's a funny little bit of psychology at play there, you know? And I don't think these teachers do it maliciously. I think it just is kind of like a vibe they know kind of works, you know? They become very tough, and they are supposedly, you know, the gatekeeper. So now everyone is suddenly given that person the respect of the gatekeeper, and supposedly when you tell me I'm okay, I will be okay, and I won't be okay until you tell me. And, you know, that would make sense if it was all legit and you were going to a specialist who was going to help you with whatever it was you needed help with. Yeah, it makes sense. They'll tell you when, you know, you've improved or whatever. But that's not how it works in these situations. The scale slides around, and there's a lot of personalities involved, and I don't really know what to tell you, so I'm just going to scream at you. And if I happen to be frustrated today, I'll pick on a whole bunch of you, and you all just kind of, you know, cower and go, oh, yeah, okay, he's mad. The director is mad today. But we got to suck it up because we're in the business, and sometimes, you know, directors throw tantrums, and, man, you just got to toe the line and do the job. I've been in the industry for 38 years. I've worked with a lot of different directors. I'm trying to remember a director ever losing their temper. Yeah, okay, I guess it's happened. Yeah, I remember a time. But we were running out of time, and the director was getting very frustrated with how he was going to solve an issue, and people were kind of calling out options, and the director became frustrated because this guy was a made guy. I mean, you know, he knew what he was doing, and he didn't hear from, you know, the peanut gallery about how to fix his show. I think that's what frustrated him. But that was the only time. I don't see that. I think that's more like folklore, like how it used to be, you know, in the early days of cinema. I don't really see that. It's really more of a, you know, we're all trying to make a product, and everyone kind of innately knows we got to get along. Let's just all kind of mutually respect each other and get this thing done. I mean, I think that's what people really try to do. Now, the hard part of the business is just really enduring. You see, in class, it's about, you know, suck it up and act properly. Well, that no one is ever dealt with that way in the industry. That's not the hard part of the industry. No one is ever mistreated that way under the lights. I know you some people out there, well, you should know what happened to Jim. Okay, I know there are stories out there, but I'm saying by and large, man. I mean, there's an exception to everything I say. I mean, someone's winning the lotto right now. Someone's winning Powerball this week. Things happen, and they can. But I'm saying most of the time, and certainly in my experience, that's not what I see. What makes the business hard is not working, losing an agent, not having an agent, getting fired from a job, not having a job in 3 years, trying to figure out a way to make money, and they still let you go so you can have auditions. This gypsy caravan life of being an actor, of just trying to make it from job to job. You know, this crazy lifestyle and the ups and downs, that's what chews you up. That's the grind of the business. Not being berated on a set because you're not acting well. Yeah, I think that the people in the business know that if somebody isn't cutting it, they usually don't start screaming at them. I think there's enough smart people on a set to know just take it easy. Let's just get the best we can out of this. Even if the person is a knucklehead, they'll just generally try and get around it because they don't want to, you know, get upset, and then they'll upset their stars and all the other people. It'll just be a bad vibe. So, you know, things have to be handled with a little more care than the way the frustrated acting coach deals with it. Yet actors keep going back. Yes, sir. Thank you, sir. I'll have another. And I'm interested in why that is. I think that actors have more patience for it when they're not working. Because I think secretly, they don't mind being punished. They think they deserved it. I'm not working. I should want it more. I don't know what's happening, man. I'm not booking. I'm blowing my auditions. I'm a piece of crap. You're right. Go ahead. Yell at me. No, I deserve it. Yeah. See what I mean? You know what I mean, right? Because that is kind of what you feel like. Think of it this way. Let's say you were working all the time. Let's say you had a series. You were the lead. You know, people always talked about how great your work was. You're going off to shoot a film. Now you're in acting class and a guy is screaming at you, telling you, you know, you don't want it enough. You wouldn't, you know, not for 1 second. You would say, "What? Shut up. You don't need to speak to me that way. I make a living and no one talks to me that way. We're nice to each other. What are you yelling at me for? Okay, I didn't get it right, or you didn't like what I did. Let's do it another way. What's the screaming about? Why are you trying to humiliate me?" You see, you wouldn't allow that for a second in the scenario I painted about being successful, right? Because you would say, "I don't deserve it." Now, isn't that funny? You think you deserve it when you're not booking. Really? Okay, so then let me ask you this. Do you really operate better when you're humiliated? Really? Do you? I mean, I'm kind of a tough guy. I hate that shit. I hate it. Why? Because I'd rather walk into the desert, man. I don't want to sit around and be humiliated and then have to work. That is like such a not a fun time to do it. And I don't know what I'm practicing for, because we don't go to sets and then they berate you and you still have to then make marvelous. It doesn't happen. So what are you getting me ready for again? You're not getting me ready for anything. You're trying to break my spirit is what you're doing. And then you're challenging me not to have my spirit broken just by the simple fact that supposedly I wanted to be an actor. And so if I allow that to happen, well, I guess that I'm just full of it. That is so manipulative. It's so absolutely manipulative. It's very clear. So why do these actors stay in these classes? Is it Stockholm Syndrome? You have this teacher that has kind of abducted you and now has you in this group of people, and he's berating you, and everyone now is feeling, oh, you humiliated me in front of my friends. I got to come back next week and have you praise me so that I don't look like a clown, like the clown I look like tonight, you know. And in this clan of people, I don't want to be the dumb one. I want to, you know, rise to the occasion. I want to prove to everyone I can take. And I think, why? It really sets up kind of a dysfunctional kind of relationship between students and teacher, where they're challenged with this behavior each week. And if you happen to, you know, start off on the right foot and you get your scene right, great, then you get some praise. It doesn't happen all the time. It happens once in a while. And this is what keeps you coming back for this sick thing. You know, almost like the gambler just keeps losing at the table but keeps coming back because they don't want to walk away from the table until they've won. And if the cards are stacked, boy, they can manipulate you into staying there for a long time. I just read a letter from a lady in Australia who's telling me that, you know, the coach would say, look, if you don't finish this part of the exercise, you are never going to advance in this class. And so, you know, you hold that above them and as if the advancement in that class, again, what does that get you? And as I said, if it was actually steps to success and it's like, you know, get through there and do that, then you get the series. I'd say, yeah, come on, man. Put your shoulder to it. Let's get this done. Let's get up these steps. But that's not the case. No, it's just this culture of acting coaches. You know, it's like somehow they're respected if they're real monsters. I don't want to be treated that way. Why should I? Why? I'm an adult. I have just as much right to live as anyone. Why should you get to treat me like that? I don't treat you that way. Oh, because you're the teacher, so you get to abuse me? Why? You know, it's something, it happens in this industry, and it has to stop, and it's all a power thing, you know? I know recently I was talking about, for instance, casting sessions and how late they'll go, or how angry the casting directors will be in short. You know, there's some people have reputations, but we suck it up. Why? Well, that's the gauntlet. I have to get through it. You know, there is actually a job perhaps on the other end of this little crap tunnel that you're going to make me go through with your attitude. The way you belittle me, or you're short, or, you know, you cut me off and then ask me to act. And then you see what happens is the casting director can be in a bad mood, right? Because they can say, hey, look, we're not here to nursemaid you. This is professional what we're doing. If you want to be a part of it, well, then I guess you're just going to have to suck it up, aren't you? Because guess what? There's somebody right behind you that's going to suck it up, and they're going to get the job. What is our aspiration? To become like some sort of tough Green Beret person? Some tough Navy SEAL. You know what I've found? And I have a lot of rules about casting. I don't think you keep actors waiting. And if they're waiting more than 5 minutes, first thing out of your mouth when they come in is, sorry to keep you waiting. Why? Well, again, you know, they are people. And they have given up their time. Yeah, I get it. We're giving them a job. But at the end of the day, if they get the job, it's their face we see. And it's their acting. So we're all equal. You know, it's all even Steven. We're all getting something out of it. When it all works, it's all equal. So why do I get to mistreat you? Because you could potentially be the person. And just as human beings go, you took public transit, you drove your car, you paid for parking, you looked at the lines, you memorized it, you took it very seriously, you wore appropriate clothing, you sat out there, you come in here, you're trying your best to hopefully bring to me the product I am so desperately looking for. Why do I get to mistreat you? It's so arrogant. It's so self-important. It's ridiculous. And here's the bottom line. I know that my friends that are the best actors that, you know, really care about their work and they're actually quite good, they would be the people that you would probably want to have in your movie. They don't behave well with disrespect. So what, they should be punished for that? No, I think that they have enough self-respect to feel like, look, this movie isn't that important to me. You don't get to mistreat me because I have self-respect. And I have talent. And if you want it, we've got to be mutually, you know, well-mannered with each other. Why not? Why would we not do that? So then you say, well, then I guess you don't get the job. Yeah, okay, but I'll tell you the types of people that then get the jobs. There are people that, they aren't necessarily at the top of the food chain when it comes to talent. They aren't miffed as much. They're perhaps a little more desperate. They're willing to do whatever. Okay, hey, once in a while, even from that lot, you get the exact person. But I'm thinking you might lose a little of the cream, not because the cream are babies. No, they're just self-respecting people that say, yeah, you don't get to do that to me. Not today. So is it important that we think like this? Yeah, I think so. I think so, because I think that what we are trying to do are find the best people. Now, again, that doesn't mean we need to coddle them or, you know, overwork our appreciation of them. No, they're people. They show up. We told them, be here at this time. They changed their day so they could be here at that time. I get it. They're possibly going to get a show, but you're possibly going to get a great actor. So, again, even Steven. Now, they've showed up. Give them some respect. Don't be short with them. And, you know, if you're running 5 minutes behind, it's very simple. You say, hey, sorry to keep you waiting. Bing, it's over. You can say that while they're walking across the room. Now we have mutual respect. And you see, here's what happens. In the sessions that I run, here's what happens. If I know in my heart that I've treated you with respect, I haven't kept you waiting. There's nothing about my attitude that should put you off or catch you off guard or, you know, shake you up at all. I gave you essentially a reasonable environment to do your thing. If you don't cut it, you see, I get to sleep at night telling myself, hey, man, you know what? We made it just right. We gave everyone a fair shot. You weren't able to step up. You didn't get the job. I don't have to go to sleep thinking, yeah, I wonder if I shouldn't have snapped at that guy. Maybe we should. Maybe if we hadn't made them wait an hour and 10 minutes and if the casting director just wasn't so, short with that one actor, maybe, you know, I don't want to have to ever think like that. We're not lifting bricks in this job. We're trying to finesse, you know, our emotions and our ability to entertain. Come on. Give a sucker an even break. Let the person come in. Just be okay. Be in a good mood. Make it simple. Be gracious. Why not? Well, in that instance, I think you get way more out of the actor potentially. And again, if I was rude to you, what am I getting you ready for? I don't need actors who can deal with rude situations because that's not happening on set. That's not what happens. It's the opposite of rude. You get trailers and food and, you know, people fawn on you and give you your clothes and put your makeup on for you, and then they bring you to set and everybody's very cordial. It's the opposite of this environment. So why put you through some environment that's not going to happen? Why make you go through a gauntlet that doesn't really exist other than in your impatient mind running your casting sessions and being short with actors because, you know, you hate your job or you're frustrated or you can't find what you're looking for. So you take it out on these poor actors that are coming in and giving you your time. And so I don't think there's any room for this in any class. And shame on you teachers that, you know, anybody can lose their temper and patience with somebody who's trying to learn. What's that? That's easy. And I can just say, shut up, figure it out yourself. What am I, your mom? And I can just turn to another student. And then in a way, they'll kind of take it because they'll think, well, this business really is tough. Jeez, yeah, I guess you got to really want it. I think that has to stop. And honestly, I think it has to stop because, first of all, I don't think it helps the actor progress. It's a ridiculous system set up just to punish people for nothing, really. And I think it's lazy teaching. Lazy. Oh, my God. So lazy. I can just scream at you. Google it. Well, how am I teaching you anything? You're struggling, and I tell you, you got to want it more. Come on. Really? Is that how we do it? And then because I've humiliated you, you'll go home now, and a little Rocky music will play in the background while you now suddenly really start working out, hitting that big old side of beef, and then you come back to class because I challenged you. Yeah, except it's not a physical thing. It's a mental finesse, feel excellent about yourself, confidence game. That's what acting is. It's a confidence game. If somebody says, in 38 years, Jeff, what is the biggest thing you've learned? I'd say confidence. I'm just more confident than I was when I was a kid. And that has helped me to do better work. But it's all built on this foundation of confidence. With it, you're potentially everything. Without it, you're potentially nothing. I'd rather spend your hard-earned dollars helping to instill confidence in you, not beat the crap out of you, and then chastise you for not being able to take it. It's just insanity to me. And so what are they really preying on? They're preying on the absolute desperation of the actor to just get it to happen. And unfortunately, because of this dream that is not happening, the actor will happily take their lumps as punishment because they haven't done it. They haven't been able to make their rent through their acting. They haven't done the thing they claimed they were going to do. They didn't get that last job. Yeah, sure. Let me bend over and grab my ankles. You know, give me some good wax. I deserve it. Oh, man. No, I get it, you know. I get it. Sit there whipping ourselves. But it doesn't make our acting better. That's the only problem. I mean, I appreciate the sentiment, but it doesn't make you a better actor. It makes you a sadder, more frustrated actor. And they aren't shiny. They generally are very tarnished when they walk in the room. They're all tarnished and sad. They're not shiny. I mean, one of the tricks I use with actors about going into audition is I want you to walk in the room like you're successful. Just, you know, what would an actor your age who really had it going on, how would you be? How comfortable would you be in that outer room? And how would you walk in and how would you deal with them? What would your state of mind be if you were in a series right now and you were sought after and you had a movie? I don't mean in the cocky way. I just mean in the, I'm going to be okay. I'm all right. How you guys doing? I'm good. How does that manifest? What does that look like? I one of the tricks I use with actors is I want you to just today as an experiment, from the moment you get out of your car and walk up there, I just want you to feel like a very relaxed, successful actor. Let's just play act today. It works. People book from that. Because that's the first thing we see when you walk in the room. I'm not interested in tortured artists. I've already quoted David Lynch saying, but I'll do it again since it came up right there. He said, the image of the tortured artist is romantic to everyone but the artist. And yeah, it's an interesting idea. You know, I get it. You're just really going to be hard on yourself and sulk because, you know, you're not working and you really, 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 really want it, man. And, you know, you're willing to take your lumps. But that's not how you be a champion. That's just some sad-ass shit you're going through for, I don't know why, because you want to indulge? So you can feel like you're paying the price, penance, for having not worked. You'll admit to the town square that you're a turd. And somehow, what? You don't see that as indulgent? That has nothing to do with anything. You need to win. You need to sort this out. You need to get shiny. You need to get confident. You need to feel great about yourself. You don't need to go somewhere where someone's always chewing you out. Oh my God, I would never chew anyone out in class. I've never done that. I mean, I might have gotten short with somebody if they were being disrespectful or something, you know, unusual in all my years teaching, but certainly I wouldn't bark at someone because they weren't getting it or, you know, they hadn't figured it out. That's what they're paying me for. So theoretically, I should be able to do it. And if I get so frustrated that for whatever reason, I cannot get this person to understand what I'm talking about, well, then I guess I can't deliver a good they want to pay me for. So I think that the mature thing to do is to finally say, look, I don't think I can help you. I don't think I need to yell at you. I don't think I need to make you feel small. And I'm bringing this up today because I do get a lot of letters about this. People saying that, you know, this is how it was going on and that and they were always made to feel like they were stupid and they didn't quite get it. And, you know, the system didn't make sense and they were always in their head. And then they were humiliated for not being able to do it. And that made them feel really stupid because they didn't understand the book. They didn't understand the system. They're just struggling to get out of their head. And then someone's yelling at them and telling them, you got to get out of your head. If you don't get out of your head, then, you know, you don't want it enough. And they're stuck in this cycle of confusion and they keep paying for the class and coming back to hoping that daddy one day will finally say, okay, guess what? That didn't suck today. And then they'll cry, you know, themselves to sleep that night out of gratitude. Come on, man. It's a class. You show up. I hopefully help you with your skill. I don't need to punch you in the stomach. I mean, what the heck, man? Come on. That doesn't make, like, perfect sense. Yeah, we got to stop this. We got to stop thinking that that is like the rite of passage. It has nothing to do with the rite of passage. Look, if you're a serious person, you listen to what's going on and you try as hard as you can. And if you come up short, well, it wasn't for the lack of trying. And if it was for the lack of trying, if you were being lazy, there's still no reason to scream at you. I can say, brother, you're paying me to be in my class. I mean, if you show up and you don't work on your lines, I can't really help you. And you're giving me money for nothing and you're wasting other people's time. So you've got to do the basics or not be in the class. I don't need to yell at you. But I can certainly just tell you the way it is, and we can speak of it like mature adults about it because, you know, that is the bottom line. But it doesn't have to be personal. You know, you're a client. You're one of my clients. I'm trying to help you. It's my duty to tell you what's what, but never to disrespect you. Never to treat you like some stupid child. Where do I get the right to do that? Yeah, that stuff's got to stop, folks. And if you're in one of those abusive situations, listen to my voice. Get out of it. I'm going to tell you why. Because you're like the gambler at the table that thinks you're going to make it all right. You're not going to make it all right. You're going to leave the table eventually at a substantial loss. So if it's not feeling good, you've got to listen to your instincts and you got to get out of there. And don't say, well, once I do a scene and I finally get his or her praise, then I am definitely what? That's like the gambler saying, well, once I just win back, you know, just a part of it. I just didn't, you know, I just want to leave with a little sweeter taste in my mouth here. I don't want, you know, I don't want to leave a loser. No. Come on, man. First of all, that particular situation you might be in isn't necessarily a judgment of anything that warrants any worth. It's just a class you're in somewhere where someone is mistreating you because they're frustrated. Now, if you're someone and you say, hey, man, no, I got to tell you something. I do my best work when people are screaming at me and they make me feel terrible. Well, I guess you found your bliss. Hang in there. I mean, if you're booking and you're one of these people you like to be screamed at and belittled in front of people and it works, well, obviously, look, it isn't broke. Let's not fix it, shall we? But if you're everyone else on the planet that doesn't like to be mistreated and you find that it's not fun being creative when you're treated this way, then you need to walk away. You're not wrong. The other person is. Why? For all the aforementioned reasons. Because it makes sense to you. We're all people here, man. You don't get to mistreat me. I don't care how old you are, how young I am. I don't care what the whatever is. We're all people on this planet, and we deserve mutual respect. We don't need to get short with each other. And the problem with this kind of behavior and these kinds of episodes is, unfortunately, actors kind of hang on to these moments. You kind of, because I hear about it, like war stories from actors. Like they're telling me about skirmishes, you know, these horrible things that occurred. And it's not said with light laughter. And it's always followed with, I was so into my head, I was so depressed, I was so not liking what I was doing, I dreaded going to acting class. This is not a thing you want to create. You don't want to have this kind of dark cloud of energy, you know, in your life. You don't want, especially about this. Which I find insane, of course, because theoretically, we're trying to be entertainers because we would love that. It would be so much fun. Oh, my goodness. I'd whistle all the way to work and whistle all the way home. I get to entertain for a living. It's what I want to do. I want to be an entertainer. I want to make entertainment. And I want to tell stories. And I want to act like this and then act like that. And that's my joy. It's all right. Yeah. As long as I don't litter and hurt little kids. Should be able to do what I want. And so, if it isn't happy, if you're not having a great time, if you're not chortling all the way to rehearsal and chortling all the way home, then there's something amiss, right? Because you should be chortling. This is the thing you want to do. This is your bliss. This is your fun. My goodness. You know, I have people tell me all the time that in their old classes, when it was over, they would feel exhausted. They would just have to go home and crash or drink a bunch of beers and, you know, just like, bleh. And when people leave my class, apparently the comment I always hear is they just feel inspired. They feel excited. They, you know, they just want to keep it going. They want to act some more. Yeah, right, exactly. But that's how anyone would feel after anything they did where it was fun, and it was a choice they made in their life to do this thing, this hobby, this avocation, this vocation, whatever it was, and it brings you joy. That's why you do it. And so it would only make sense that you would be exhilarated going to it and exhilarated coming home from it. You shouldn't be wiped out. Really? What is it, a coal mine? Why? Right? And then, you know, these people that are wiped out going home, see, it's okay with them because they feel like, nah, man, I'm paying my dues. I hate this stuff. It's so hard, man. I'm going to do it. I'm going to tough it out. I'll tough it out. I'll take whatever he's saying to me, and I'll go home and crash, and I'm exhausted, and I'm just in a lousy mood. But and to what end? What's going to happen again? You're going to graduate, and then you get your film contract. Is that it? No. It's just preparing you for what it's doing to you, which is misery and sad-assness. Come on, man. Now, look, if you're in a class and there's moments of sad-assness, but lots of funny and joy and happy and, you know, spontaneous thought process thing, and you just feel kind of, you know, like your inspiration, you know, you're inspired every week, you know. If that's going on, great. It's not necessarily all laughter and happiness. I mean, you know, we can come up against some roadblocks in a class and then, you know, be frustrated for a moment and figure our way through it. Although, to be honest, I don't allow for frustration in my class. We talk through everything. We fix it. It's fixable. And as long as we make a little bit of progress, then we made a little bit of progress. I'm one that believes in, hey, we can, you know, progress in increments. We can, as long as we're getting better, man, as long as we're better tomorrow than we are today and the day after tomorrow than we are tomorrow, and, you know, then that's it, because this stuff adds up quick and you make great progress. So let's just, you know, not get all crazy here. So I believe in that. But if you're leaving and you're depressed and you're not having fun and you just feel like a sad sack who's just not cutting the mustard, I think you're in the wrong place. And the biggest problem I have with people who have been either damaged or, you know, they're put through the ringer is getting them to unlearn all of that. So take care, folks. And no one has any right to mistreat you. That's not a part of being in the business. I don't think anyone should be allowed to do that to anyone on any set. I don't care who you are or what company you run. We're all people. Come on. And, you know, kind of a mutual respect and this kind of manner on any set tends to create a better product, because tension and mistreatment, well, it can undermine the product. What's more important to you, your problematic personality or the quality of the product you're trying to create and spend all your money on? You're not paying your dues just because you're letting someone abuse you in a class. That's not paying your dues. Paying your dues is hanging in this business and gutting it out and going to the auditions and getting through the rejection and continuing to rise every day with a smile, telling yourself you're going to get there, it's going to happen, and you continue to improve and you continue to sharpen your skills. And as long as that's coupled always with a little bit of joy you find every day, you're doing it right. You're taking your best shot. Well, that's what I have to say about that. In my response to a number of letters that I've read recently that have come to me. That stuff ain't right, yo. Thanks for listening.
You've been listening to the Real Life Actor Podcast. This is Jeff Seymour. Please subscribe. Let us know you're listening on social media and feel free to email us at jeff@reallifeactor.com with any questions you'd like me to answer on the air. I'd love to hear from you. Thanks for listening.